Thank you, that's beautiful. How's the coloring going? And the key part of the coloring that I forgot to mention, sharing. So if you happen to have the colored pencils, make sure you share it down the pew. And Lee, are you with me? I messed up. I was going to show a picture to the children that I would love to show right now. So I kind of woke up this morning and I thought to myself, Lee, our slide a person who does such a fantastic job, how can I make his life miserable? And so if you can find the picture that I was going to show for the children's sermon of the... There it is. He even read my mind. The mission team that I was a part of just returned from Guatemala. For the kids, I asked this question, you know, when have you experienced joy? Or what might joy be to you? This was on the house site that our team... Because 20 people go as part of our mission teams, and then we split into two groups, and we work on two different houses. So my team went to this house site, and that's Mariposa, which is Spanish for butterfly. And that's Mariposa, and the family, that's the family's cow. And they milk that cow, and that's essentially their income. And all their income is the milk from Mariposa. And that happened, no, go back. That happened when I was actually, all of the blocks that go into building the house are just over here. So I was actually bending down to pick up one of 5,645 blocks I carried. And all of a sudden I felt this tongue alongside of my face. But I had this overwhelming sense as, you know, this house for this mother and her kids and this cow. I bring you good news of great joy. God is with you. I just had this incredible sense of God's presence, and it just filled my heart with joy. And I grew quite fond of Mariposa throughout the week, I have to confess. If we can now go to, not that one, if we can go to the one we were going to begin with. I love this image. Isn't that fantastic? I can so relate to that. Because to me, this suggests this beautiful idea, this wonderful, beautiful idea, that joy can be present even in the midst of our tears. Joy can be present even when things aren't going quite as we hope they would be. Joy can be present even when our expectations, which I'm assuming this is about, when our expectations aren't being met. The Koskies have a tradition, an Australian tradition, an Australian Christmas tradition that they have continued since they moved back. And that involves Christmas crackers on the Christmas Day dinner table. Do you know what Christmas crackers are? Now, for those who don't know what Christmas crackers are, there's the paper that you pull apart. And when you pull apart, it pops. And there's always a toy inside. And there's always a joke. And I always seem to get the same joke every year. And it's this. How did Mary and Joseph know that Jesus weighed 7 pounds, 6 ounces? Because there was a way in the manger. That's bad, isn't it? It makes me laugh. It reminds me of Jacob, who's now 23, when he was a little boy in Australia, and we'd sing Away in the Manger, and he'd always ask every year, who's Wayne the Ranger? Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's actually called Gaudet Sunday, which is a Latin word that means rejoice or joy. So today we light the pink candle of joy. Now, we light the pink candle not because theologians believe that Mary and Joseph were actually expecting a girl. It's supposedly the color of joy. So today, we just simply invite you to contemplate the gift of joy. And you might be wondering and thinking to yourself, with all that is going on in our world, honestly, what is there to be joyful about? But then maybe now is when we need joy more than ever. Maybe now is when we need to cultivate joy. Now it's when perhaps we need to be a presence of joy. The angels said, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Joy. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. Paul, who was in jail, we don't exactly know where he was in jail, but somewhere in the Roman Empire, he was in a dank, damp cell in jail. What we do know is that he was on his way to Rome for his trial, probably to be executed. And what we do know is he had this message to give to this small little church called Philippi, who they themselves experienced persecution and hardship. And Paul said, "Rejoice always." Again, I say, rejoice. For the Lord is near. Now, before you begin to think that I'm here to sell you something and I'm going to give you a positive thinking pep talk, you know, just be positive. I think what Paul's talking about is not just this superficial, Pollyanna-ish, glib optimism or cheeriness. Paul wasn't saying, "Oh, don't worry, be happy." He was talking, I think, about something that wells up, not something we manufacture, but something that wells up deep inside. Something that is grounded in something real, grounded in something stronger than a jail cell, stronger than perhaps even death itself. You know, it was Paul who would later write, There is nothing in all creation, nothing in the world, nothing in all of your life, there are no circumstances, there's no situation, there's nothing in life or death that can ever separate you from the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. That love is with you always. Jesus, the night before his death, hours before his resurrection, that too, but crucifixion, he shared a last meal with his friends. And they would have been shocked, I think, for him to say, "I've said these things to you that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full." So the prayer of Jesus wasn't that they might be happy, but that they might know joy. You know, happiness and joy seem a little different from each other. Happiness, for the most part, in many ways seems somewhat attached to our external reality, our external circumstances. I'm really happy when my sporting team wins. I'm not so happy when they lose. So happy seems attached to the circumstances. Happiness seems to be a because of. I am happy because of whatever it is out there. Now, the marketers this time of year really play on that. They're saying, okay, you will only be happy if you get that gift or that present or that car or that whatever it happens to be. So happiness seems to have a because of flavor. Joy seems to have a in spite of flavor. Joy, it seems less, seems to be less related to what's going on outside of us and seems to be something that can bubble up inside of us in spite of what's going on outside of us. So in this culture of ours that is saturated by fear, this culture of ours where the challenges that we face seem insurmountable, where the darkness and the terror seem invincible, where the darkness seems impenetrable, we're audacious enough to come into this place, light a candle, and make room for joy. Leo Biscaglia tells the story of this father, this family who was going from paycheck to paycheck, barely putting enough food on the table, and there was a layoff, and the father lost his job. So he comes home and he says to his wife, I've lost my job. I'd like you to go to the store, buy enough food for a feast. We're going to feast tonight. Use the savings that we have and buy food for a feast. And his wife, scared and anxious, said, we can't possibly do that. We can't possibly afford it. You've lost your job. And he said, right now, we can't afford not to. Because now is precisely when we need joy. Now is precisely, he said, when we need to be reminded that there is a goodness, there is a beauty, there is a strength, there is a resilience, there is a love stronger than our circumstances. I have a good friend who has a spiritual practice where she always has fresh flowers. Even when she necessarily can't afford fresh flowers, she will buy the fresh flowers before she will buy groceries. And she says, I have the fresh flowers to remind me in the midst of the chaos of my life and even the fear of my life that there is beauty. And the flowers are there to remind me that that beauty is not dependent on me. It's not something I can control. It's not something I manufacture. It's not something I create. It's just there. And the flowers are there to remind me in the midst of all of my chaotic life to make room for beauty. And my role in bringing a little beauty into all of the ugliness. Joy. Friedrich Buechner defined joy as grace realized. Grace is the undeserved gift of life, of every breath. Grace is the undeserved gift of love. Grace is the mystery of God with us, always. Joy, he says, is when you know it. And joy, he says, is when you share it. The poet David White defined joy as the meeting place of deep intentionality and self-forgetting. Jesus says something kind of similar. He says, if you're willing to lose your life, to lose yourself for something greater than yourself, it is then you will know life and joy. I have a friend, the most joy-filled person I know, the most peace-filled person I know, Sister Lilia. She's committed her life to being a presence of joy in areas of extreme poverty and despair. I asked her one day, how do you remain so joy-filled in the midst of such depression and despair and destitute poverty? And she looked at me as if, what a stupid question. Like a typical Western question, like it's our job to control it, it's our job to manufacture it. She said, I don't know. I just simply begin every day emptying myself. I begin every day emptying myself of my agenda, emptying myself of my fears, my worries, my anxieties, my need to control everything, my guilt, so that I might be present to God's love. We okay? Okay. Where was I, speaking of being present? She talked about being emptying herself that she might be present to God's love. And then she says, I just spend the rest of the day giving that love away. Joy. Sometimes I think we make things way too complicated. We just got back, our mission team just got back from Guatemala. Incredible, incredible experience again. Each time we go, we think, you know, it's our job to give, you know. And we return and realize we received way more than we possibly can give. I led a devotion every morning using the Lord's Prayer with the group, and I essentially invited the group to be present, to the sacred presence, to be present to God with us, knowing that it will change the way we are present in the world. I said, you know, we sometimes go and we think it's our job to bring God to our Guatemalan brothers and sisters. No, no, no. It's our job to be humble enough to meet God who's already there, present in and with our Guatemalan brothers and sisters. So I asked Elizabeth to share a story that she had there of such a moment of being present, and there's a picture.
So I was given a job to do. Is this on?
Yep.
I was given a job to do. My job is to put concrete between the spaces of these concrete blocks. I have no clue what I'm doing. A very skilled Mayan mason demonstrates how this is to happen. He takes two trowels, one big, one smaller. One trowel goes on one side where you hold the concrete in as he scoops up another with some concrete with the other, and he flips his wrist and the concrete flies between spaces and it's smooth and there's no extra concrete on the blocks themselves, and I'm just kind of in awe of this whole thing. Now it's my turn. So I sit down with these two trowels and I pick up the big trowel and I reach over and put it on one side. I get a glob of concrete. It becomes very apparent. I do not have flick the wrist ability to do this. So now mine is plop the concrete on top, poke it, push it, and lo and behold, if you do it enough, it actually gets in there. So I'm working very studiously along, and I look up, and there is little Iora. And she's standing on the other side, and she's watching me. And there she is in her little dress with skin this beautiful color of lattes that I love, and these deep, dark eyes and this black, black hair. And she smiles at me, and just on impulse, I hand her one of the trowels. And without a moment's hesitation, something like that, and she tries to pronounce my name, Elizabeth, and we laugh at each other. And I pick up the concrete, and it falls off the trowel onto the ground, and we both realize we know the word, uh-oh. We both get it, and we laugh. And we make our way down, and after we go from one block to the other, we high-five it. I say, good job. She turns to me, and she says, good job. And I try to imagine, how will this family of nine people live in this tiny little house? And then I think, this young woman will lie in her bed at night, and she will remember the concrete that she put into that house, that she helped to build her house. She's not worried about how many people are going to get in that house. She's got a whole different perspective than I do. So, she's blessed. She has blessed me. My world has shifted. So here's a grandma with a little kid who's partnering, who can hardly speak any language with each other, but we laugh. And I know that God is present.
Thanks. Thanks. Joy. If we can go to the one before that, I want to just share two moments. Be one with me and two young men. There it is. This is Juan and Ramon. So what happens is you split up in two teams and you build two houses. And then one of the days, a smaller group of team goes to a family that can't afford a habitat house. A family who lives in a space probably the size of your living room, if smaller, with dirt floor, you know, sticks for walls and a tin for a roof. And we went to their place and we built a smokeless stove. Started in the morning, we finished a smokeless stove and a latrine. So you walk away knowing that, you know, that the quality of their lives have profoundly shifted, and they participate, they work with you. That's the smokeless stove, and that's the family. Although Juan was too cool to be in this picture. So if we go back to the soccer, Ramon is hiding. There they are. We finished the smokeless stove, and Ramon grabbed my hand, and he pulled me up the dirt road to this kind of clearing, which is a ton of garbage everywhere, garbage everywhere. And Juan was just too cool for it all. You know, just kind of had a distance, kind of watched, because Ramon had a ball. And we started to play soccer. And it was Ramon and I against Juan. And you notice the one sweating. Well, Juan won 5-1. I had great joy every time Juan got a goal. I would go, goal! And I'd high-five him. And by his third goal, he actually started to smile. And his eyes lit up. But it was by the fifth goal that I was surprised by joy. There was such a sense of God's presence. Such a sense that these weren't someone else's children. They were my children. In the midst of all of the garbage, in the midst of all of that poverty, I was surprised by joy. And my final picture is, if you can see the grandmother, our house site. This woman has lived at that particular site for 90 years. And I had my camera in my hand thinking, Ralph D. LaMarter tasked us to take cool pictures. And so this was a cool picture. And it stopped me in my tracks. This was a woman who lived through the 30-year Civil War. This is a woman who's seen her brothers and sisters murdered, disappeared. And there was such dignity, grace, resilience, beauty. I realized just in her presence that she had a spirit within her, stronger than the circumstances in her life, stronger than the poverty that she lived in, stronger than the despair that she experienced. She had a light in her soul. You can see that light. She had a light in her soul that could not be taken away from her. So I took that picture and I showed it to her. And her eyes just lit up in a big smile. Joy is grace realized. Grace is the sheer gift of every breath you take. Grace is the gift of undeserved love. Grace is the light that no amount of darkness can extinguish. Grace is the beauty and the goodness and the hope and the resilience and the love at the heart of all things. Joy is when you know it. When you live in it, and when you share it. I invite us to sing a verse of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel as our prayer that in spite of the circumstances, joy might bubble up and increase as we think about the ways that we can be a presence of love and joy in this world. Let's sing.
Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows forth to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to
behold, I bring you good news of great joy. God with us. We continue to worship as the offering is received.